As everyone knows, the lending market has become incredibly difficult. It's become difficult for people to borrow money, and while lenders themselves are under tremendous pressure to loan money, the rules of the game have changed. In this episode of the Real Deal podcast, we talk to Greg Winter of Winter & Company, a commercial real estate lender. Greg helps investors and developers with deals worth more than $5 million, either for buying of commercial and multifamily buildings or for construction loans and conversions. We're going to talk to him about the lending environment in that sector of the market and exactly what it takes to borrow money as a developer these days. Greg and his firm have a reputation for being more than creative to make tough deals happen. So you can give us some good insight in what's going on in the lending business and what it takes to get a commercial loan in today's marketplace. We're very happy to have him here today. Greg, I'm going to get right to it. What is the greatest change you've seen in the lending market recently?
I would say the volatility that we're experiencing in the last couple of months exceeds anything I've ever seen before.
So there is activity. It's not a total freeze.
Interestingly enough, everybody's focusing pretty much 100% of their time on the total freeze up in the credit markets. But the fact is, all through the last 6 month period, even in Black September and the early part of October 2008, we have been finding freely available financing for lower leverage, cash flowing apartment building and mixed use deals.
Most people aren't necessarily flushed with enough cash to do a high leverage deal. What kind of borrower benefits from these sort of deals?
The typical real estate investor is always looking to get the highest leverage possible. So if he's paying $10 million for a building, he wants to borrow $9 million. He wants to at least borrow $8 million. But there's a certain category of borrowers who have owned a property for a long time, don't have or need a lot of leverage. In many cases, these are real estate families that are not pulling out the last nickel out of every property. They may only need $5 million on a $10 million property or $50 million on a $100 million property. Those types of deals are getting done at or even slightly below 6% for 10-year fixed rate money.
That's amazing. At this point
in time. Not a lot of focus on that part of the commercial real estate financing world, but it's happening.
And how has that changed the lending market?
In today's market, it's getting harder and harder for newcomers to jump in as developers in this very difficult financing marketplace. This is a market where to get a deal done, it's critical that you have a real demonstrable track record. And that means a track record in the type of property that you intend to develop now. So if you have a guy who's developed retail properties somewhere in California, and now he wants to develop condos in New York City, that's not directly transferable experience from the point of view of the lending community. The other thing that's critically important these days is real net worth and liquidity. Most real estate guys, and we see the financial statements and tax returns of a lot of real estate guys, have paper value, or they have net worth on paper, but they don't have a lot of liquidity. That used to be okay, and many banks would still entertain making a new construction loan to one of these fellows.
But used to mean, you mean like a year ago? So now you're talking about the change that's currently taking place in the marketplace.
2 years ago, it would be reasonable to think a dentist who wanted to transfer into real estate development might actually be able to get 90 or 95% total leverage to develop a new project.
Are you talking about from experience?
Yes.
You have lent it to a dentist who wanted to be a developer, right?
And they'd be able to get 80% loan-to-cost financing from a bank and maybe another 10 or 15% mezzanine financing. Those days are pretty much over.
So would you say this is a bad time to get money?
I think the price of money has rarely been better than it is today. It's just the availability of money is much more difficult. Banks are really only interested in lending to the strongest borrowers, meaning the borrowers who need the banks the least. So it's a bit of an oxymoron at the moment.
All we hear is that banks don't want to lend, but in some cases they still do. What does it take today to get a commercial loan?
It was typical for 20% to be inadequate for a mixed-use multifamily development or even a retail or commercial development. Now, that number has gone up to 25, 30, 35, even 40%, depending on the dynamics of the deal, the particulars of the deal. The significant change, though, is the developer really has to have liquidity to stand behind the deal. It's expected that a project is going to go over budget. It will take longer. Here in New York City, we live in a very dynamic and difficult environment. And to be a successful developer, you not only have to be able to design a viable product, figure out how to market it and merchandise it, et cetera, and actually construct it, you have to navigate through the Department of Buildings. Mm-hmm. And these days, the Department of Buildings is on a hair trigger because of all the crane collapses that we've been experiencing. So stop work orders are happening on many, many jobs for the tiniest of reasons. And that can stop a developer dead in his tracks for months. What's going to get him through that? It's only liquidity, having actual cash.
And how long before we notice the government money in the marketplace?
I wish it moved as quickly as turning a light switch on or off. But other than the hope that it's going to calm the anxiety in the markets, and so far it seems to be heading in that direction, I think it's going to take weeks, if not months, before we see the full effect settle in on the marketplace. It's too early to tell.
What is the first sign we should look for to see if the banks are lending again under normal circumstances?
I think the first indication that the credit markets are beginning to loosen up once again is going to be that the LIBOR rate, the London Interbank Offered Rate, will start to come down again. It has been escalating over the past few months because of the reluctance of banks to even lend each other money. As they start to be more confident in each other and start to lend to each other more actively, we will once again see the LIBOR rate start to come down.
I know you don't deal with the residential real estate market, but what is it like for them right now?
I spoke to a residential mortgage broker today because we're very interested, if we're financing the multifamily buildings, what kind of financing is available for the end user. That's very material and important to us. What I was told today is for someone with the ability to fully document their income and their net worth, roughly 80% is possible. Somebody can borrow roughly 80%, put down a 20% down payment, but that's for someone with real cash reserves, a very solid, verifiable income, and very clean credit.
Let's say I want to buy $1 million property. What would be a real cash reserve for $1 million property?
6 months or 9 months of all somebody's expenses.
So their mortgage and their maintenance and taxes for 6 months in the bank.
Right. So it's going to be tougher for developers to find qualified end users to buy their units.
How have you changed the way you do business, or how has your business changed?
It takes a lot more time to do each deal. We vet each transaction before we sign up a new customer so we can be sure, to the greatest degree we can be sure, that our time will be well spent and we'll be able to help that customer. So it causes the intermediary to ask a lot more questions up front and be much more satisfied with the answers before taking on an assignment.
It takes a lot more time to do deals, okay. But would you say that deals are still getting done regularly?
I wouldn't say it's business as usual. There's more fallout, meaning deals will fall apart because of some weakness in the deal that perhaps wouldn't have stopped it 6 months ago. The scrutiny of each borrower and the property itself is much, much tougher. Lenders are paying stricter attention to all the third-party due diligence reports than they ever have in the past. The bar has been raised. We have to underwrite every deal as if the value is going to drop over the next 6 to 12 months. So it has to withstand that test. And then we have to carefully look at the borrower's ability to handle the debt.
What would you say has changed in the profile of your borrowers?
The interesting thing we've been noticing is higher profile developers, guys who've done 2 million square feet of development and had previously not relied on intermediaries or advisors, are now coming out of the woodwork. And given how tough the environment is, they're looking to someone who's in the marketplace every day to help guide them and help prepare their project to be presented to the banks. So that's a very unusual state of affairs we haven't seen before, and very welcome. They tend to use the same lenders again and again and again, and they get into sometimes a narrow track. So at a time like this, everybody sticks their head up and looks around more carefully and does a 360-degree circle to try to find some new sources, new solutions to get things done. So we have been finding that our network of potential borrowers and developers has been increasing.
What kind of lending market do you think we have to look forward to?
I think it's going to be a market where proven players are going to be able to get financing, and they will be able to get their projects rented and sold. And I think it's going to be a tough period for the next year or two, certainly, for newcomers to come into the business.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. There's plenty of money out there. But if you're a new or an amateur developer, the lenders are going to hold your feet to the fire. I would like to thank our guest, Greg Winter, and all of you for tuning in, or rather streaming this podcast. Thank you.